Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to UTI Asset Management Company Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Imtiyazur Rahman, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Surojit Saha, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, Head Operations, and Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations and Corporate Communications. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note, disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties are on the disclaimer slide of the investor presentation that has been shared earlier. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Imtiyazur Rahman. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Very much. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to thank all of you for joining this earnings call for the second quarter and first half of the financial year 2022-2023. I'm delighted to share with you another quarter of operational progress and financial growth for UTI Asset Management Company Limited. Friends, it has been a proud moment for all of us when our country surpassed United Kingdom as the fifth largest economy in the world as per IMF. The latest check based on the quarterly GDP figure in current dollars for the period ending December 2021 is an ordinary achievement, is an extraordinary achievement, and highlights India's resurgence and emerging superpower. To discuss UTI AMC's quarterly performance, I have with me my distinguished colleagues, Mr. Surojit Saha, CFO of the company, Mr. Vinay Lakhotia, Head Operations of the company, and Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations of UTI AMC. Let me share with you about the global and Indian economy. I would like to touch upon the situation and the growth trajectory globally and for the Indian economy. As we all might be aware, the global economy is going through a difficult phase with the central banks raising the interest rate to tackle record high inflation. The inflationary environment in all markets, escalating geopolitical tensions and energy crisis in Europe are affecting global growth, with various rating agencies even forecasting a stagflation risk. Back home, the inflationary scenario has pushed the Reserve Bank of India to raise the interest rate back to pre-COVID levels. The repo rate now stands at 5.9%. However, the situation does not seem to be gloomy as India continues to emerge as an outlier as per the financial markets experts. So far as Indian equity market is concerned, during the second quarter, the Indian equity market recovered from the correction which was witnessed in the last quarter. The benchmark indices closed up by around 8.3% each, with Sensex closing at 57,427 points and Nifty ending at 17,094. Indian mutual fund industry, with the second quarter witnessing inflows and market recovering from the low seen in June, the quarterly average AUM of the mutual fund industry as on September 30, 2022 grew from 37.7 lakh crore as on 30th June 2022 to rupees 39.1 lakh crore, up by 3.5%. The number of folios rose from 13.47 crore as on 30th June 2022 to 13.81 crore as on 30th September 2022, up by around 2.5%. Now, I hand over to Mr. Sandeep Samsi, Head Investor Relations, who will update you with the UTI MF performance. Sandeep?
Thank you, Thank you, sir. I'll start with UTI Mutual Fund's performance. Following the rally seen in the equity market during the quarter, UTI Mutual Fund saw AUM growth for the second consecutive quarter. For this quarter, UTI Mutual Fund's quarterly average AUM as of 30th September 2022 stood at Rs. 233,595 crores, up by 11.8% year-on-year. As of 30th September 2022, our market share stood at 5.98% as compared to 5.94% for the quarter ended June 22 and 5.83% for the quarter ended March 22. On closing AUM basis, our market share has increased by 15 basis points to 6.04% as on 30th September 2022 from 5.89% as on 30th June 2022. Our equity quarterly average AUM market share is 4.99% for the July to September 2022 quarter. Our equity quarterly average AUM for the quarter ended September 22 stood at Rs. 71,717 crores, rising by 13.5% as compared to the quarter ended September 21. The quarterly average AUM for index and ETF recorded a year-on-year growth of 36.6% to Rs. 72,465 crores for the second quarter. Net sales for UTI Mutual Fund for the quarter 2 FY23 stood at Rs. 6,612 crores, while the overall industry saw inflows of Rs. 47,278 crores. UTI Mutual Fund contributed 14% to the industry's net sales during the June to September quarter. While for the gross sales, UTI was able to capture market share of 8.2% of the industry. The total assets under management for UTI Group registered a growth of about 14.5% over the corresponding quarter of previous year and stood at Rs. 14.4 lakh crores as on 30th September 2022 as against Rs. 12.63 lakh crores as on 30th September 2021. During the quarter under review, the number of live folios were 1.21 crore as on 30th September 2022 from 1.20 crore as on 30th June 2022. During the quarter, our number of SIP accounts rose by 5%, taking the total number of live folios to 23.8 lakh as of September 22. The new SIPs registered during the quarter were 2.58 lakh. Our SIP AUM witnessed a growth of 18.26% over the corresponding quarter of last year, reaching to Rs. 20,565 crore as of 30th September 2022 from 17,389 crores as on September 21. The SIP inflow for the quarter stood at Rs. 1,589 crores, rising by 2.53% over the first quarter of the current financial year. The SIP gross inflows witnessed a year-on-year growth of 32.9% as against the industry growth of 26.52%, with the average ticket size being Rs. 3,289 for September 2022. 22.8% of our monthly average AUM for September 22 came from B30 cities, while the industry stood at 16.9% in terms of the B30 AUM, monthly average AUM. 108 out of our 166 USPs are in the B30 cities. Weighted average AMC yield stood at 38 bps for the quarter. UKMC Financial. During the second quarter, the company posted a consolidated net profit of Rs. 201 crores as against Rs. 199 crore during the corresponding period in the last year, reflecting a growth of 1% year-on-year and growth of 114% quarter-on-quarter as against Rs. 94 crore during the last quarter. The consolidated core net profit for this quarter stood at Rs. 85 crore. For the first half of financial year 23, the consolidated core net profit stood at Rs. 189 crore, up by 12% year-on-year as against Rs. 168 crore in the corresponding period during the last year. The operating profit margin as a percentage of AUM for quarter 2 of FY23 was 16 bps. There is a growth in the core profitability of the equity, of the UTI group. For UTI AMC Limited standalone, the net profit for UTI AMC Limited for the quarter stood at 119 crores, reflecting a slight decline of 1% year-on-year from 120 crore in quarter 2 of last year and a growth of 17% quarter-on-quarter from 102 crore in quarter 1 of this financial year. The core net profit for UTI AMC Limited stood at Rs. 69 crores, whereas the core income is at Rs. 235 crore in quarter 2 FY23 growth of 2% from quarter 2 of last year's FY, that is rupees 230 crore, and 0.4% quarter on quarter from the first quarter, which is rupees 234 crore. For UTI Retirement Solution Limited, the AUM of UTI Retirement Solution has increased by 16.5% on closing basis to rupees 217515 crore from rupees 186717 crore in quarter 2 of financial year 22. PAT for UTI RSL is at rupees 11.9 crore, an increase of 3.5% compared to the corresponding quarter of the last year. UTI International has an AUM of rupees 25,105 crore as of 30th September 2022. The management fees of UTI International is at rupees 33 crore, an increase of 13.8% year on year from 29 crores in quarter 2 of last financial year. One of our flagship funds, the India Dynamic Equity Fund, domiciled in Ireland, has an AUM of US$1140 million. J. Sapra Sarasin, Responsible India Fund and ESG Compliant India Fund, has an AUM of $89 million. UTI India Innovation Fund, which was launched in the first quarter of this financial year, has an AUM of $18 million. UTI Capital Private Limited, UTI Capital has an AUM of rupees 1509 crore as on 30th September 2022. UTI Capital has made a net loss of rupees 1.2 crore in the quarter 2 of financial year 23. UTI Structured Debt Opportunities Fund, called as HDOP 1, has an AUM of rupees 239 crore and is currently in exit mode. UTI HDOP 2, with an AUM of rupees 507 crore, is currently raising funds and investing. It has a well-designed ESG strategy. UTI Multi-Opportunity Fund, launched in March 22, is currently in investing stage and has an AUM of rupees 763 crores. Employee cost of the group. Employee cost of the group in quarter 2 of the financial year was 103 crore, witnessing an increase of 3% year on year as against an amount of rupees 100 crore in the quarter 2 of last financial year. I would now request the Managing Director and CEO for his concluding remarks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sandeep, for sharing operational and financial highlights. I would like to emphasize that our continued focus on growing high-yield assets and fortify our commitment towards our people, process and performance, which has been the backbone of our operation since long. As we enter the festive season this weekend, I wish you, your family and fellow citizens a very happy Diwali and good health. With this, I would like to open the forum for Q&A and thank you for joining this call today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Sahej Mittal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening all. Thanks for the opportunity. So a couple of questions from my side. So firstly, if we talk about the operating expenses. So operating expenses are shot up quite materially in 2Q sequentially. So what has caused such a sharp rise? And, you know, because this becomes quite volatile and continues to become a drag on the margins, on the EBITDA margins. So if you throw some color on this. Secondly, on the employee expenses, so where are we in terms of our journey to moderate our expenses? So can we expect 100 crore run rate, quarterly run rate for the second half? And how should we look at the FY24 employee expenses, if you could give us some outlook out there? And thirdly was on the international business. So even the international business, the yields have improved quite materially. So what has resulted in such an improvement? Yeah.
In respect of the other expenses, other expenses, we would like to tell that some of the expenses for which the figure of 15 crore has increased for Q2 FY 2023 is firstly, 3.5 crore is in respect of the fund management fees of UTI International. UTI International has seen a substantial growth in respect of revenue from, if you see, from 55 to 65 crore. So, accordingly, as you know, in respect of the international business, the trail fees is being paid by the company and not by the schemes. And then 3 crore is in respect of the membership and subscription fees, which we have to pay for the Asia Index Funds. That is all BSE, Bombay Stock Exchange related funds we have, and also the National Stock Exchange. Because if you see the passive fund, which has increased by almost 20,000 crore from 52,000 crore to 72,000 crore on a year-on-year basis. And lastly, we have done some investments in respect of our various IT initiatives, that is website development and mobile application app, in respect of which we had to also do certain expenses, which though it's a CapEx nature, but we have charged off and its benefits will be over the period. Because these are all customer-facing initiatives we have taken, and on those initiatives also, we had to do some agile quality management study, which also has some expenditure. And the other routine expenditures in respect of PFRDA fees, traveling and expenses, and because of the normalization of the business activities, which has led to higher travel costs and costs related to the different initiatives. So we feel around 4-5 crore is a one-time expenses, which has happened in this quarter. So our run rate, which I told in the last quarter, will be around 50 crore, if you remember. I feel it should be around 54-55 crore. And in respect of the employee cost, I feel the run rate per quarter will be around last quarter it was around 101. This quarter it is 103. We feel it will be in this range only. And lastly, in respect of the-
For FY 2024?
Yeah.
And for-
Employee cost for the Q1 FY 2023 was around 101 crore, and this quarter it is around 103 crore. So we expect the run rate to be in this range only.
Even in FY 2024?
Yeah.
Yeah, next year also. Next year, we feel there should be a little reduction because of the other retirement and all, which is on the pipeline. And in respect of the international business, while year-to-date FI outflows from India have been around $22 billion, but our offshore funds have witnessed marginally positive inflows over this period. We have launched an innovation fund a few months back, which seeks to invest into technology-led business across different sectors in India. The endeavor will be to create a strong track record so that we can distribute this fund at a much wider scale. Apart from that, we have plans to strengthen the retail distribution in the Middle East, increase coverage of South Asian institutional segment from Indian equity. In Europe, we are trying to build an interest in our G-Sec ETF, given the likely inclusion of India in the global fixed income indices. Also exploring our options in the U.S. for the Indian equity funds. And definitely why you have seen the yield has increased, because if you see that September 2021, our AUM was 34,536 crore, and there is a redemption of our low-yielded AUM, which is UTI Phoenix Fund and UTI Kronos Fund, which is around 10,000 crore. But we have garnered AUM in UTI India Dynamic Equity Fund, around 1,300 crore, and other equity funds around 700 crore, and because of which our yield has improved in the international market. Thank you.
Got it. And on the staff cost, just one follow-up. So for FY 2024, in absolute terms-
Sorry, can I request you to speak a little louder, please?
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah. So for FY 2024, on the staff expenses, in absolute terms, are we saying that we will see a similar run rate, 100 crore? Or are we seeing a downward trajectory out there in FY 2024 in absolute terms?
Yeah. See, there will be a downward trend because of the retirements are in the pipeline, but anyway, the normal increment And with respect to the, if at all we perform in respect of the business, the variable pay will play an important role, but the core employee cost will definitely be on the downtrend.
The absolute employee cost will be on a downward trajectory. Okay, got it. Thanks for this.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lalit Deo from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Right. Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, just two questions. So, firstly, sir, on the SIP side, so it seems like that in this quarter we have lost market share marginally. So, just wanted to understand, how is the market share trending across channels in the SIP segments, like in the banking and FDs? So, could you share some light on that?
Sandeep?
Yes, sure. So we are seeing improvement in our market share across categories for the fintechs as well as for the other channel, for the bank channel. I'm happy to inform you that for the fintech channel, our market share has improved. Now our the total SIP market share for the new SIPs has increased for the fintechs has increased to 3%, 3.01%. Some time back it was around 2%, which is now improved to 3%. Similarly, for the bank, it has gone up. Now we are at around 1.51% of our that is the share of wallet of our AUM across the bank. So we are seeing improvement across channels. And as you know, the strength that we have in the other distributors, the apart from the banks and the fintech, is very strong.
Sure. And one more thing on the retirement side, we have been highlighting that in the last three quarters, we have been receiving inflows of about 33%. But that thing is not getting reflected in the AUM market share. There we are seeing a sequential decline. So what would be the major reasons for that?
The RSL inflow has come. If you see the increase in the
What is the question? Can you come again with your question?
Yes, sir. So, we have been highlighting that our inflows in the RSL business are now at about 33%. But then, in terms of AUM market share, that thing is on the declining trend, and it has again declined in this quarter also.
I'll answer that. I think while the public sector, the inflows is around 33%, but there is a private sector also. So are you taking the combined exposure? Because of that, it could be on a declining trend, but on a public sector, we are receiving around 33% inflows.
And so far as private sector is concerned, as we had informed all of you, we had the services of BCG last year. We have a business plan in place. We are in the process of putting a team to target we have applied for the POP license. We have the POP license. We have written to the other regulators. And accordingly, we will be marketing very aggressively in the private sector as well. We are investing in building the team and infrastructure. We have had a quite number of people. And in next few quarters, we will ensure that we witness growth in our market share in the private sector as well.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Audible?
Viraj, can you hear us?
Yes. Am I audible?
Yes, you are now. Go
ahead. Yeah, Viraj.
Yes. So in the international business, we are seeing the profitability going on a absolute basis. So what is the reason for this is my first question. Second question is, in the NPS business, in the incremental AUM, how much are we getting and what is our market share over there? And third question is, on the buyback, we spoke about buyback in the last conference call. So what is our plan in this thing?
Firstly, in respect of the international business, see, we have said that we are opening a new office at Paris, so there are some restructuring going on in the international business. For that, the cost has slightly increased, but it will have, on a long-term basis, definitely there will be a growth in the revenue with the new schemes are being launched and the new equity inflows which has happened currently. So we are definitely, we expect it to be a material contribution to the consolidated profitability.
So far as buyback is concerned, we are still exploring, but you need to be mindful that when we do the buyback, there are various other factors which we need to be considered, and we are working in this direction. But I can't give any assurance as far as the buyback is concerned.
And the other question relating to NCS business?
NCS business?
What was the question, Viraj, on the NPS side?
So incrementally, how much AUM are we getting versus the other players, other PSE players?
We are getting around 31% on a regular basis so far as PSU is concerned. And as I mentioned to you, that we are building a team to aggressively market in the private sector.
Okay. Thank you. And happy Diwali. Wishing happy Diwali to the team. Thank you.
Thank
you, Viraj. Wishing you the same.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Yash from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. One question on the ESOP expense for the standalone business did for the quarter. If you can share the number.
Yeah, this quarter it is 3.85 crores.
Okay.
And I can give you the number for the subsequent quarters also. It will be 7.25 and 5.70.
So that would be for third and fourth, right?
Yeah. So total this year, it will be 21.52 crores.
Sure. Thank you. And so the other was on the lines of the yields in domestic business crashed. You know, so we understand that the ETF mix has increased and liquidity replaced in debt funds, but active equity mix has also increased you know, sequentially. So why did the equity crash so much on a sequential basis?
As I said earlier, the fresh inflows is coming at a lower yield. So that's why there have been a reduction of around 2 basis points as far as the equity yield is concerned. Also, this particular quarter, our inflows under the ETF and the liquid category has been at a much higher rate as compared to the industry. Because of that, it has an impact on the overall yield number. But as the guidance that have been given in the earlier calls as well, as compared to the previous year yield of around 41 basis points, we do see a reduction of around 2 to 3 basis points of yield in the current financial year, and that guidance holds good for the remaining part of the financial year as well.
Okay. Thank you. And so distribution mix for SIPs, channel-wise, how has it changed during the quarter?
Yeah, so Yash, a major part of the mix which is coming for the SIP is from the direct business, and we see a large part being played by the fintech. Apart from that, the mix of SIP is very similar to the mix that we have given in our presentation on the overall equity mix. So if you see my presentation, there is about 60% which is coming from direct.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And just if you can throw some light on the product pipeline if you have.
Product pipeline, Sandeep?
Yeah. So during this quarter, this is the third quarter, we have the plans to launch the gold ETF fund of fund, which is live right now and will be closing shortly. Apart from that, we have a plan to launch a fixed term income fund, the Series 35. That we are planning to launch in the month of November. We have received the approval from the regulator, and that will be launched shortly. Apart from that, we have the approval from the regulator for UTI Multicap Fund. We are looking at an appropriate time to launch that. And we have approval for another FTIF series 35-2 and 35-3. Those dates have to be decided, but we have received the approval and it's at our end now to launch it at an appropriate time.
So mostly it will be on the fixed income and on the passive side of the equity business.
Sure, got it. And so just lastly, was there any trail fee reversal for the international business this quarter?
No, nothing as such. The low-yielded certain funds like Phoenix and Kronos, which I said in my first answer, they have got redeemed, but it got refurbished by a good equity content from IDEF and other equity funds. So overall, the revenue have improved.
So basically, low-yielding asset has actually redeemed and has been replenished by an high-yielding asset. Because of that, there is a slightly spike.
Thank you, sir. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of A.S. Chen from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, out of our ETFs and index funds, what is the share of ETF of money?
Share of ETF?
EPFO.
EPFO, I think, should be close to around 75-80% of our total ETF business.
Okay, and that should be similar for the industry?
Yeah, I think because ourselves and SBI actually receive money from EPFO. We two are the biggest players. For the other AMCs, I'm not very sure about that. But as far as EPOs is concerned, SBI and UTI only receive money under the ETF category.
Okay, okay. If that. And secondly, so, just extending that point on the yields front, we've seen that, you know, your competitors have declared results, had the benefit of share of rising share of equities, benefiting them and their yields have improved. Why is it that for us things are different and the yields on the equity are declining? What's different for us?
No, I'm not very sure about the competitors. This thing is happening. What we can show that we have been receiving substantial inflows under the equity categories over the last 6 to 7 quarters. And that the trend we see continuing it. So as earlier explained in the con call, in earlier con call as well, the yield on the fresh inflows is at a lower pace, and plus there are other factors that the older AUM is also getting redeemed, which has an overall impact on the equity yield. Plus, as I said earlier, for this particular quarter, our overall liquid and ETF percentage of sales has actually improved substantially. Because of that, there is a marginal impact as far as the yield numbers are concerned.
Could you give some yields on each of the asset classes? What are the current yields? And particularly on equity, if you can explain as to what would be the yields on the new asset and what would be the yields on the back book?
So I can give you the stock AUM yield. Stock AUM for equity and hybrid fund is close to around 82-83 basis points. For ETF, around 5. Income fund will be close to around 30 basis point and the liquid fund of around 8 to 9 basis point. On the fresh inflows, we don't provide any yield number because again it depends on which channel, which geography this particular business is coming. As stated earlier also, the ratio of distribution with the distributor is close to in the range of around 50-80%. 50% being with the lower end of the spectrum, which is an IFA, and 75-80% with a bank and a national distributor. So very difficult to give a single number as such, but that the distribution mix ratio that we have been sharing in the past as well.
So how is the sharing of the TER different between the individual distributors, national distributors, and banker?
So that's why I said 50% will be shared with individual financial distributor, 50 to 60%, and with the national distributor and banker, it could be in the range of around 75 to 80% of the total distributable expense ratio.
Okay, got that. And last question. So on the ETFs, do we have any plans to launch smart beta ETFs which can give us better yield?
Yeah. I think we already launched sometime last year Nifty Momentum Index Fund, which is actually a smart beta product. And most of the ETF launches in next few course of time, I think will be in that range, which should provide some fillip to our yield number. Sandeep can share some of those ETF categories.
Yeah, so we have filed, but we have yet to receive the approval. So we have, as you mentioned, we have a long list of funds which we want to launch, including some of the, you know, the active passives, which are the Nifty 100 Enhanced ESG Index Fund, and other funds which we want to launch. So these are all filed. However, we are yet to receive the approval.
Okay. And on the debt side, do you see the yield going higher going ahead now that the money should start moving towards longer duration from 30, what you mentioned? Can it move by the end of this year towards more like 35 bits?
It could happen very well, yes, because most of the product, I think the demand should come in a longer duration product where the yield could be slightly better. So, yes, there could be some few basis point incremental management fees as far as the income fund is concerned.
All right, thank you, and wish you all a very happy Diwali and happy New Year.
Thank you, Diwali. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nirmal Bari from Samisha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
Nirmal, sorry, but your voice is breaking. May I request you to come in a better reception area, please? We move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Enam Investment Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. I have two questions. First is, in the half year, we had a net capex of around 29 crores in property, plant and equipment. So could you elaborate on what was the nature of this capex? And the second question is regarding the competitive intensity. If you could share some light on the competitive intensity in the market in terms of the mutual funds.
It's regarding the capex. It is in respect of the building. We have done some initiatives as well as the IT initiatives which have been taken. These are the two major reasons why the capex has improved.
Okay.
Yeah, and Kunal, on the competitive intensity, I think the mutual fund industry remains competitive. We are, as a long-standing old player of the industry, we have built our relations with our partners, the key mutual fund distributors or the banks, or even the new age partners like FinTech. So we, continue to work on our relationship. We don't take anything for granted, and we realize the fact that, you know, as the market grows, the competitive intensity will also grow. So we have to always work on what we have and build on our strength. So that's what we look at, Kunal.
Okay. Just a follow-up on the capex part. So how long do you think, you know, the 40 crore kind of annual run rate that we'll be doing, how long will that sustain? Because inherently, we don't require too much capital in this business.
No. These are all because of the last 3-4 years, we have not done any capex in respect of our IT initiatives. So those are the mainly, it is in respect of the information technology upgradation for the customer-facing initiatives which UTI is taking forward.
Okay. And on the building part, what was the capex? Can you elaborate a little bit?
Building, we don't have already what is on the cards as of March 22, it is there. We are not taking any other buildings as a capex.
No, but the renovation is going on, and we have 2.5 floor more to renovate. It was a very old building, and that needs a serious revamping of the infrastructures to provide employees a good place to work. And our goal is to be an employer of the choice, and therefore we need to provide a good work environment. So we have renovated, we are in the process of renovating the entire building. We have completed the renovations and new cafeteria, which is worth seeing. We are renovating the other 2.5 floors, and there will be some cost for this financial year and as well as first half of the next financial year. And there will not be any further capital investment in building. So far as in IT infrastructure is concerned, as you know, it is the need of the day, and we need to continuously invest in IT infrastructure to stay competitive and make UTI a completely digital organization. And that expenditure is not expenditure, as you know, it is an investment for future business. And that will help us to reduce, optimize the cost, and enhance the profitability and productivity.
Got it. Great. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Raghvesh from Fringy Invest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. So I have two questions. The first one was on the tax provision that you have mentioned, substantially increased the percentage of PBT. So can you give some color on how to estimate that going forward? The other thing, can you elaborate on how the PNF sees in income, you know, the dynamics, how can we look at it going forward, and what were the major components this time?
Yeah, in respect of the effective tax rate for this particular quarter, you have to see the effective tax rate for the full financial year. Even in the last quarter, if you see, it was different. For the full year, it will be around 22 to 23 bps. And this particular quarter, it is more because, as you know, in the last quarter, there was a 37 crore loss, M2M loss, and this financial year, there is a gain. And because of the dividend, we had to do a repurchase. So there is a realized gain also has come into the books. And because of this, the tax rate has increased. But for the full financial year, it will be around 22 to 23, which is there, which we will be maintaining for March 21 as well as March 22.
Okay. Thanks. And on the PMS?
Yeah, PMS fees, as you know, for the this last 12 months, year on year, it's around 13 crores of PMS fees. Is less than 1 bps, as you all know, and we have mentioned in all the earlier calls. So it's a volume game. Once the AUM increases, it will be contributing, but it will not be a very substantial contribution to the revenue.
Okay, thanks for that. Happy Diwali.
Thank you. Happy Diwali.
Thank you. Next follow-up is from the line of Sahej Mittal from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead. Sahej, the next question is from the line of Sahej Mittal. May I request to unmute your line, please? Due to no response, we move on to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Amay from Metaverse Equity Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. So, sir, I would like to have your thoughts on impact of interest rate hike on fixed income side of the business in coming financial year, as well as this financial year.
What is your question? Come again, please.
The interest rate hike on fixed income side of the business impact.
Interest rate hike. I think head of fixed income is the right person to speak on this particular subject, and I have no comments to offer as a CEO of the organization. But as you know, it is nearly coming to the settle down situations, and there may be some small hike in inflation. But I am not a right person to speak on this particular subject. If you need a note, we can send you the note separately, and then you can send them your request to Sandeep, and we will send you the reply, appropriate reply.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Tanvi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. So I had two questions. One was on the number of employees that got retired this quarter and how many of them will get retired this year for the full financial year. And of that, how much, you know, cost reduction we are expecting this year? Like we had mentioned some numbers last quarter. Are we maintaining those numbers? That is question number one. Second, on the international business, you said that, you know, we have invested some money this quarter in terms of opening of offices, etc., which led to reduction in the operating profits. How should one look at for this whole financial year? Like in the first quarter, we did an operating profit of around 15 crores and this quarter we did some 6 crores. Like we'll be maintaining the 6 crore run rate or we'll go back to 15 crore run rate from the next quarter. Yeah, these are two questions.
On the question number two, we are not expecting any further expenses so far as the Paris office opening is concerned. The expenses is done. And so far as your first question is concerned about the, how many people retiring, Surjit.
Yeah, so for 22-23, around 60 people will be retiring and there will be a saving of around 7 to 8 crores. And this was the figure we have mentioned earlier also. And for 23-24, it will be around 50 people and the saving will be around 8 crores.
Sure. And one more question on, you know, hybrid side. Back like 2-3 quarters back, you said that, you know, we don't have a product on the hybrid category as such because we had some ULIP product and we were trying to solve the issue with SEBI. Any update on that?
We have taken up the matter with SEBI and the work is in progress. And we are also planning to work to file and seek the approval of first of the board and then the trustees and plan for that. But it is a work in progress and I can't give any forward-looking statement about the timeline.
Sure, got it. This last one, if I can squeeze in, it was on you know, you in the one of the comments you had mentioned about hiring new employees for other initiatives. Like in terms of, you know, what we understand is in the last 2 years, we have hired people across the teams. We have strengthened our team. Where we are in that journey, because what has happened is at one side, we have been reducing employees and on the other side, we are, you know, hiring more people to strengthen the team. And hence the cost benefit is not reflected in the financials. Now, in terms of, you know, strengthening the team, where we are in journey across you know, department functions?
Good question. The various departments, let me give you the, first of all, investment. In investment, we don't need any further addition of the manpower. We are sufficient number of professionals to take the company forward. In the sales of distributions at the senior level, we don't need any further hiring. But at the junior level, relationship managers, as you know, the attrition is also very high. But we will continue to expand. We are seriously working to rationalize our branch office cost and that process will continue. We don't have any plan to hire the folks or employees in any other function so far as the operation is concerned or HR is concerned. We are, whatever the, whoever retired from the non-managerial staff, we are not rehiring folks. We are only hiring for the managerial staff. On the subsidiary side, yes, we are building the competencies in UTI Capital. We have the team and we will hire some more folks in the associates in UTI Capital. UTI International, as Sujit mentioned to you, that we have launched our US strategy. We will be building the team in US. We will be expanding our network and our team in Middle East. So we will witness some ad that with those investments will yield very significant results in the years to come. And the corporate office, there will be a continuous reduction so far as the manpower is concerned. So to summarize, the class 3, class 4 are non-managerial staff, whoever is retiring, there is no substitution. Is going once for all. So far as the investment is concerned, no. Generally, there is only replacement and no further addition. Sales, We need to build the A-class distribution team, and we, wherever is required at junior level, we will hire the folks.
Sure, got it. So in terms of, you know, our absolute cost structure, when you look at both employee and non-employee, how should one look at it? Like, is there any possibility that we'll see absolute cost reduction, or it will, you know, be stable the way it is? Because in the past, we had also indicated that the employee cost could reduce on an absolute basis. But now commentary seems like that it will be there where it is, that is 100 crore run rate. Any, you know, thoughts on absolute reduction of cost over the next 2 years would be helpful.
Very good question. I think you need to see the cost in a different way. You need to see how much is the ESOP cost. If you take out the ESOP cost, then there is a downward trend. Throw out, there is a downward trend, and this trend will continue. And therefore, Surajit can give you the information. One is the employee cost and the ESOP cost. So if you see separately, but if you do segmentation of the employee cost, you will find a downward trend. But ESOP cost, as you know, it is not the cash cost. It is just a book entry. And we need to continue to issue the ESOP for our team to ensure that we are in a position to retain the, you know, the talented people, particularly the investment. Our ESOP policy clearly indicates that 100% of our investment team will get the ESOP. So this is important form, and your question is very relevant. We are given the guidance, and we are committed to take the implied cost in the downward, on the downward trend.
Sure.
Detailed information, so we can give you separately. Break up.
Sure.
So, you have the information ready, or you want to give separately?
We have. We can tell.
Yeah, please tell.
Yeah, if you see the June 22, our actual employee cost, core employee cost was around 76 crore. It has come down to 73 crore in September 22. And only the variable cost will depend obviously on the business we garner and how our sales team and the investment team performs. But the core employee cost will show a downward trend in future.
Sure, got it. Thank you so much. All the very best. Happy Diwali.
Happy Diwali.
Thank you. Participants, will take the last question from the line of Priyesh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry to labor on this employee cost again. You mentioned that in the next couple of years, this year and next year included, you will have around 110 kind of employees retiring, and that will lead to a saving of 16 crore, right?
No, the saving will be more than that, but you know, you also need to give increase in salary to the employees year on year. So this is a net effect. I mean, after giving the salary increase, we are saving the money. So you need to see that from that particular angle. As an employee, all of us are entitled for the salary increase, and it's such a competitive market where the, you know, skilled staff are in the scarcity. We need to give salary increase on year on year, but still we are seeing a downward trend.
The 16 crore savings will be net of increments given.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Imtiaz Rahman for closing comments.
I would like to extend my deep gratitude and thanks to all the participants for participating at this particular point of time. Despite your busy schedule, I know a lot of calls are there. Thank you for participating. I would like to thank all our partners, my colleagues, and everyone for actively participating to take UTI to the new high. I now once again extend my deepest greeting on a personal behalf, on behalf of UTI, to our partners, to all the participants here, and to the entire countrymen and women for the happy Diwali and festive week ahead. Thank you so much and good luck. Stay safe and stay healthy. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of UTI Asset Management Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.